Man, you can find your way back to your seat. Hope you had a moment to greet one another. It's been such a powerful day already, and I am so thankful for our worship service and the opportunity to connect with the Lord and spend time singing His praises and realigning our thought process and all these different things. It's been a great day today. And today I'm starting a new sermon series for the month of May. We'll kind of be speaking upon a topic, and we're going to take a break next week from this for Mother's Day, and I'm really excited. My wife will be speaking next week for Mother's Day, so I'm looking forward to that. And you know, it's a dangerous game to play, though. Like, if you notice today, when I come up with my wife and she's singing, I leave my microphone off. Okay, that's for your benefit. So I can sing, but the mic stays off. But the problem is she can sing, she can speak, all the things. So, but I'm looking forward to that. So if your mother, this is a great opportunity. If your mother doesn't attend First Church, doesn't attend church, just want to invite her and be with us in the house next week. It's going to be a great day. But today I want to start a message from this overall topic, and the series title of a couple of messages I'm going to speak from is Distant, Distracted, and in a Hurry. I don't know if you've ever faced one of those feelings, but I know that I have. Times when I felt distant. Let me ask you, have you ever felt distant? Maybe distant from God? You ever felt distant from the Lord? Have you ever felt distant from maybe your family, your parents, your siblings, your spouse? Have you ever felt distant from your purpose? Maybe the thought of, man, this is not where I'm supposed to be. This is not who I'm supposed to be. This isn't all I'm supposed to be. You ever felt that disconnect, that distance? Or maybe it seems maybe less lethal, but have you ever just felt distracted? Just can't focus. Maybe you use distraction as a crutch to get through some things you don't want to think about. Maybe distraction is a burden that you carry. You just can't seem to get things done or be productive. Maybe it's almost like a bond of sorts. And maybe the last one, have you ever feel like you're just always in a hurry? Just rushing from place to place? Just barely hanging on, maybe? And being in a hurry, sometimes if we're not careful, it can cause angst, stress, anger, maybe a short fuse. Have you ever considered that these things could be as much of a, if I can say it this way, a sickness of our soul? I don't mean that theologically, doctrinally, but just an analogy. It's almost like you're carrying a sickness. Have you ever considered that God cares about your pace of life? That maybe there could be a spiritual component to all of this. All of these things threaten to plague all of us, but there is a way out. There is a way forward, and there's a way through, and that's what we're going to discuss this month. So whether or not you've come around church a lot of times or for a long time, or this is maybe even your first time with us in service, I just want to ask you this question. If you have ever felt distant, distracted, or habitually in a hurry, these series of messages are for you, and I want to encourage you to join us for the month of May and see what the Lord will do. One more time, if you want to stand with me, I'm going to read the Word of God. We're going to stand just for reverence of the Word of God. I'm looking at the book of James in the New Testament, first chapter, and verse 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Today, my title of my sermon, if you're a note-taking person, is "Whatever you do, don't forget." Whatever you do, don't forget. You can be seated today. We're going to be looking at some very practical aspects of our life and the way that we live them in our current culture, and analyzing some things that we are instructed to do in Scripture. And even if you have never read the Bible or don't know much about the Bible, it would not take much understanding to recognize that the way we live our life right now in 2025 is vastly different from the way that people live their life at the time of the writing of Scripture. And so although we know that biblical principles can serve as a guide regardless of culture or time, the application of some principles to our modern time does take some study, some reflection, and some dedication. And sometimes you just have to stop and ask the question, why do I do the things that I do? Why do I live the way that I live? Why do I do the habits that I do? And you know, as I mentioned, even just a few generations ago, life was vastly different for your parents, grandparents, and those that have gone before us. And if you take something as simple a pattern of our life, let's take one simple example, the example of our sleep. And I'm going to give you some trivia every week to kind of just highlight some of the differences. And I want to ask you this question when it pertains to sleep. You can answer out loud or you can think to yourself. But here's a question. What single invention has had the most significant impact on human sleep patterns? Anybody have an idea? Well, think about it for a moment. Got our MD backing us up here. Just think. What invention do you think has had the largest impact on sleep patterns? Consider. Okay? The answer is the light bulb. The light bulb. Ah. If you said your phone, that was a good thought. But it's even more basic. Just the idea that we can overcome darkness with this artificial ability. Now, we had obviously light sources before, but the invention of electricity and the light bulb forever changed the landscape of human sleep patterns. Secondary question. Before Edison, how long did the average person sleep every night? How long did the average person sleep? What was the normal rhythm and pattern? The answer, 11 hours. That was the average sleep time. Do I have any 11-hour sleepers in the night? Bless you. We're jealous of you. You wonderful people. Yes, give it up for our MD today, backing us up with... He just made that tune up by himself right now. It's just such a great... But it is pretty amazing, even just to think about how different we live. And I, you know, I'm not saying that we need to revert back to pre-light bulb times. But the truth is, there are so many things that we just do. And sometimes although we see the benefits of a lot of things, we don't quite look at and count the cost of some of the other things. So we want to look at this text in the scripture today. And I want to tackle a principle that we see over and over that's so foundational to the rhythm of our life. We read this in the King James English, but look at the Message translation. It says, don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. You know, throw some scripture at your spouse. There you go. You are anything but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are, what they look like. Now, what the author is saying is, this is like looking in a mirror, in a physical mirror. I don't get the opportunity to do this a whole lot. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm not too bad. But the opportunity to look in a mirror, and if you saw a blemish on your clothing, or maybe you've been outside and you saw some dirt or something you need to fix, it'd be like looking in a mirror, seeing an issue, and then walking away and completely forgetting a few moments later. Now, you would say, oh, it's crazy. I don't do that. But what he's saying is, that's what we do with the Word of God. Because the Word of God is like a mirror, as it were, except it can reveal some things in our life that are out of line, some things that we need to change, some things that we should fix. But the danger is, if we just come and are hearers of the Word, but don't do anything, it says we deceive ourselves. Self-deception. Have you ever maybe looked back at some old pictures of yourself and asked the question, who let me dress that way? You ever just been like, what was I thinking, right? How did I look in the mirror and sign off on that outfit? Crazy. But, you know, I don't know if you've heard of this. This is something I heard about on social media, phenomenon. Eyebrow blindness. Have you ever heard of this? Eyebrow blindness, okay? Evidently, what it is people that pursuing some certain trend begin to shape or trim their eyebrows in a certain way that is so vastly different than their natural eyebrows, I guess. And then at some point, they almost look in the mirror and say, oh my word, no one told me. I've just been changing and changing, and my eyebrows are crazy. I was completely blind to it. This is evidently eyebrow blindness. Listen, just personally, there's two people that care about my eyebrows, and as long as they care, I don't care. Those two people are my barber and my wife, okay? As long as they're cared about my eyebrows, I have no idea, okay? Just that's just a little personal. Has nothing to do with my sermon. Just feel like I need to share that. But and these people, what's funny is, of course, the truth is they weren't actually blind to their eyebrows, but whatever they were pursuing at the time allowed them to become deceived to think that this looks good. And what's worse, deeper, and even more difficult to detect than someone else tricking you or deceiving you is deceiving yourself. Y'all didn't know I was going to preach about eyebrows today. That was not on your thoughts when you came to church today, I'm sure. But that's what the scripture says. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. My first point today is this. Man, I'd be grammatically correct, but it made sense to me. Habitual hearers only will become habitual self-deceivers. And this is the challenge for those, really, most of all, for those that come to church on a regular basis. The danger is that we will come to church and think that being hearers is what we are supposed to do. That if I am a hearer, that is being a doer. But no, the truth is we need to be hearers and then doers of the word as well. Again, to go back to the analogy written in scripture, it'd be like looking in a mirror and seeing some things that I need to correct and fix, but then walking away and immediately forgetting. That's what we do if we come into the presence of God, if we're faced with the word of God, but we don't do anything about it. Let me say it this way. If you walk away and forget your blemishes, as it were, forget some of the things you need to fix, then you'll forget the remedy. If I walk away and say, everything is fine, I don't need anything, then in essence, I'm saying, I don't need a savior. If I don't need to be saved, there's nothing wrong with my life, I'm doing everything fine, then I cut Jesus out of the equation altogether. And that's what it means to be a hearer but not a doer. And the danger is you deceive yourself. And what is the consequence of that? Well, you look back a few verses earlier, James 1, verse 21 in the English Standard Version, it says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. What I'm talking about today is I don't have the ability in myself to save myself. I have wickedness within me. I've got imperfections within me. And here's the basic problem is this. No matter who you are, if you look in the spiritual mirror of the Word of God, you will see imperfections, you will see mistakes, you will see a fallen nature, you will see a fallen man, and God is holy and perfect, and He cannot be with something that's not holy and perfect. So there's a gap. So how do I fix it? I can't fix myself, and God can't be with something imperfect, or He will become imperfect. That's where Jesus has come in and become the perfect mediator for me and you. So you don't have to be perfect. When you take on the name of Jesus Christ, you can look in the mirror and not see your own imperfections, but you can see Jesus. You can reflect His glory on earth. That's what I'm telling somebody today. You can't save yourself. Only Jesus can save you. But if you look in the Word of God and don't do anything, you deceive yourself. If you walk away and forget your imperfections, you forget the remedy. This world likes to oscillate between these two messages. If we look at even our physical life as a way to illustrate this a little bit, the world says, with this product, you can fix anything wrong with you. You can just put this on and everything will be perfect. Now, you and I both know that those things may cover the issue, but don't fix the issue. And sometimes that's what we do spiritually. We put on everything we want to put on, and you can come to church and you can look the right way. And I can look at you and say, man, how wonderful. And you can even look in the mirror, as it were, and say, everything looks fine. But underneath, you know there's difficulty and decay and dysfunction, or to go back to our series idea, at the end of the day, you still feel distant, you feel distracted, and you just rush from thing to thing. You feel broken. Or the other extreme, which in the physical sense I would endorse more so, there's a whole movement of, you know what, you're perfect just the way you are. And yes, of course, in the physical example, I would say that, yes, the way God made you physically is more than enough, and that's wonderful. But the truth is, to say, you know what, I'm just fine as I am, we have to come to a place where we say, you know what, no, there's things in my life that are not okay just the way they are, and there's no way I can see my own way out of it again, which is why we need Jesus. What I'm saying is you can come just as you are with your imperfections, your blemishes, your problems, but when you bring in the Jesus, he doesn't just leave you as you came, he changes you and transforms you forever. But if I'm a hearer only, if I listen only and do nothing, again, I will be deceiving myself. If we are hearers only, we deceive myself, deceive our own self. Verse 24, this person in the example, beholding his face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth. Straightway forgetteth. Is there anybody else guilty of straightway forget a thing? Okay? I'm not going to put this on other husbands. Okay? I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to put the... I'm the one that I be straightway forget a thing all the time. Okay? That's me. All right? If I'm just being honest with you, I do straightway forget. I'm not saying this is a problem only for men. I'm just saying this is what I deal with. Okay? I'm just trying to be honest here. Let me ask this question, men. Husbands specifically, how many of you are petrified when you get that call from your wife on the way to church, on the way home, on the way to work, on the way to something, and she says, hey, just checking to make sure that you didn't forget this, that chill down your spine, that cold sweat, because you know that just 5 minutes ago, you got a little angry saying, I'm not going to forget. You don't have to remind me. I can take care of my business, okay? I will not forget. But guess what? You straightway forgetteth. You did. But the problem is, it doesn't matter the importance of it, okay? Sometimes it can be something that doesn't matter at all, right? Or it can be something that's extremely important, like a passport or your wife's coffee that she made in the right mug, and you just forgot. You straightway forgetteth. But in that moment, it doesn't matter. It could be something so important, but guess what? You forgot it just the same. Why? Because intentions don't help you remember. Right? I'm not going to forget. Don't worry, I'm not going to forget. What do you want to do if you don't want to forget? You know what? I'm going to just remember harder. I got it. I'm locked in. No. Right? If you want to remember something, you're going to make sure, what do? You got to do something, write it down, make a note, record a reminder, ask Siri. My second and extremely practical point is this. You see it. Intentions don't help you remember. Actions do. It's actions. It's not my intentions. Don't be a hearer with good intentions. Be a hearer who converts into a doer, right? How? Well, act as fast as possible, large enough to make an impact on your life. Okay, let me just give you a practical example. The danger is if you come to church every Sunday, you come to church, but if that becomes your routine, you get to the place where you can't even remember last week's sermon. First of all, I'm offended, okay? I'm just kidding. I get it. So what is it? If that's you, then maybe say, you know what? If it's the Word of God, and I so easily forget it, maybe I'm just in the routine of just hearing in it, one ear out the other. Maybe you need to say, okay, well, maybe I need to take notes. Maybe I need to write something down that's impacted me and write something I can do. Or maybe if you're not a note taker, you're like, no, I need to be in the moment. Maybe you need to go back Sunday night and pull up the live stream, pull up the sermon, and just take a few notes then, where you can digest it and put it into action. What am I saying? I'm saying if you just get in the habit of being a hearer only, you will deceive yourself into thinking that you are doing what you're supposed to do, when all you did is stop at the hearing and have not converted into the doing. Intentions don't help you remember, actions do. actions to do. So if you are a straightway forgetter, forgetteth-er, like me, put some actions behind those good intentions. Whatever you do, don't forget. Write it down. Put it into your habit. I don't have time to go into this today, but if you want to Google habit stacking, it's a great way to help you develop good habits. Look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in all his deed. I love these four words, perfect law of liberty. There's so much packed into those four words. First of all, Matthew 5:17, look what Jesus says. Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. Talking about the Old Testament, the old way of doing things, sacrifices and all the ceremonial law and the way to communicate with God. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus fulfilled and made perfect the law. First of all, the perfect law. The law before Jesus was imperfect, right? Because they had to continually offer sacrifice. They had to go through all of these rituals, all these things. But Jesus came and perfected what was imperfect for you. And then he says, law of liberty. You see, the old law was not a law of liberty. Really, it was a sort of bondage in and of itself because they had to, again, every year they had to come and do more sacrifices, go through more rituals to make sure they could just push their sin off another year. But when Jesus came, he perfected it. And now the law of Jesus is not a law in the way we see it. It's a law that liberates you because no longer am I bound to say, yes, I messed up and there's nothing I can do about it, so I'm just going to get comfortable with it. No, the law of liberty says, I've made mistakes, I messed up, and I could never fix it, but Jesus can fix it, so I'm free from my mistakes. I'm free from my past. I don't have to live like what I look like. I can rise above it. Why? Not because I am good, because God is good. That is the perfect law of liberty. But don't forget, we need to be not just hearers, but doers. Let me ask you this. Is there something in the Spirit? Is there something in your walk with God? Is there something that you've been hearing for a long time, but you've just never done anything? Have you ever been thinking about something, you've heard it, but you've just never taken action on it? I'm talking about spiritual things. This is not the time to pull out the honey-do list, okay? I see the wheels turning, okay? You're not supposed to use my sermons as a club for your spouse, okay? I'm talking about spiritually some things that you've heard but haven't done yet. Everything else I'll leave to you to work out. But I want to show you a cool portion of scripture where we see some people hearing some things and then they act upon what they've heard. Our danger, again, is we hear and we say, oh, that's good. I'll think about that. And I'm not here to pressure you personally. I want to give you the pressure of what scripture says. And in Acts chapter 19, Paul is a man that he finds some people and that he hasn't spoken before. And in Acts chapter 19, verse 2, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, then into what were you baptized? They said, well, John baptized us. Paul said, oh, John baptized with the baptism of repentance. But he told people to believe in the one who was to come after him. I'm paraphrasing this a little bit. You can see on the scripture. That is Jesus. He says, yeah, John baptized, but he was saying, look for the one that is to come after me. Look at this in verse 5. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When they heard it, they obeyed it. Upon hearing this, they said, okay, I hear what you're saying, and look what it says. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. What do you notice? They heard the word, and they obeyed the word. Have you received the Spirit? No. Okay, let's get baptized right now in the name of Jesus, and you'll receive the Spirit. So let me just encourage somebody today. If you've never been baptized today, I want to encourage you, don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. Maybe today is your day to say, okay, God, I'm going to do what I've been hearing about. I've been hearing about it. I've heard people talk about it. But today is my day. My next point is be a doer of the word. Respond to the word of God and say, whatever it is that you want me to do, oh God, I'm going to do the work. And what's amazing in this verse, it says being a doer of the, it doesn't say word. It says a doer of the work. The work. So what's incredible about this is maybe it's not baptism. Maybe you've been a hearer long enough. Let me ask you a question. How long are you going to hear the word of God and not take a step out from where you are into leadership? How long are you going to hold that grudge and not begin to do the work of letting it go? How long is it going to be before you commit to, you know what? It's time that I start doing the work. I know you've been wounded. I know you've been injured. I know there's some things that you could have good enough reason to say, well, I'm just going to wait and hear. But how long is long enough for you to hear the word of God? I'm saying maybe today is the day that you need to say, you know what? I've heard enough. I've heard long enough. I'm going to begin to do the work. It may be difficult work, but I'm going to do the work of restoring my mind. I'm going to do the work of restoring my family. I'm going to do the work of restoring my spirit, of my spiritual disciplines. I'm telling somebody today, you've got to do the work. Don't just be a hearer only, but be a doer of the word. Do you feel distant in your life from your purpose, from where you're supposed to be? Do you feel constantly distracted as a way to escape? A lot of times, things like social media are distraction methods, are escapist behaviors. We're going to talk about in subsequent weeks. Do you just try to escape? Is distraction a way that you escape and you sit down at the end of the day and you realize I haven't really applied myself to anything that would move me forward? Do you always rush through life, always in a hurry, no matter how much time you have? A vacation is not going to fix that. A day off isn't going to fix that. Sorry to tell you, but more money is not going to fix that. Why? Because it's a soul sickness. There are definitely practical things, but I'm here to talk about the soul issues first. And I've got two more points, but I want to help you. I want to give you something that I think is a paradigm and a perspective shift. So many times, we have this idea of, well, when I struggle, next time, I will try harder. If you get in an argument with your spouse, I'm sorry, I'll do better. I will do better next time. I will try harder. I will try differently. You make a mistake, you sin, you fall, and you get up, look yourself in the mirror, look yourself in the Word of God, and say, you know what, next time, I'm just going to try harder, and I'll do better. But there's a danger in that. There's a broken mindset in this mindset of try harder. I'll give you an example. I don't know if anyone ever had this hope and dream, but to dunk a basketball. Don't laugh at me. I had a dream. At one point, I said, you know what? I want to be able to dunk a basketball. But you know what? If you took me out right now to a basketball court and gave me a basketball and said, okay, the secret to dunking a basketball is trying really hard. Just try really hard and you can do it. You immediately see the issue with that logic, right? No matter how hard I try, there's just some things that are not going to happen. It's not going to happen for me. Why? Because it's not trying. We would recognize I can't try to be really good at that. If I want that to be a goal, it's not that I have to try hard. It's that I have to train hard. If I have that type of goal, if someone has a physical goal or athletic goal, it's not so much, well, just try hard and you'll get there. No, it's that I have to enter into a life of training. So you would all understand, yeah, if you want to dunk a basketball, it's not about trying harder. It's about training harder for a long time. And you're going to have to train yourself before you see the results. And you would say, yeah, I get that. And there's no way I'm going to dunk a basketball by trying harder. And you'd say, yeah, well, then why is your approach to parenting, well, I'm just going to try harder? Why is our approach to trying to have a better marriage, I'm so sorry, babe, I'm just going to try harder next time? What I want to tell you is, don't try to do something, train to do something. Talking about a paradigm shift in your mind and in your spirit. Again, you want to do things in life? Well, let me ask you this. In the mindset of that, why are we trying to be like Jesus so hard instead of training to be like him? Hope you understand what I'm saying. Stop trying to do things and begin training to do things. Now, there's words that we use. If you've been around church, we use words like spiritual disciplines. There are things we understand. Reading your Bible, creating a habit of reading your Bible, praying, coming to church every weekend. These are things that we understand. These are not just things that we try to do, but this is training for our soul, training for our spirit. But let me just give you another little secret here. Reading your Bible all the time is not extra credit in God's eyes, okay? coming to church, that you're not going to find a scripture that says, thou shalt read thine Bible 1 hour a day and the face of the Lord will shine upon thee. You're not going to find it. Why? Because spiritual disciplines, creating a habit, is not to get on God's good side. That's not the way it works. That's not the purpose of it. Why do we have spiritual disciplines? Why do I get in the Word every day? It's for me. It's for my benefit. But if I view spiritual disciplines, if I view these habits as God's extra credit, guess what? I'm going to despise them. Just like the gym class. If you got to pass and you got to get a grade in gym, when the coach says, okay, we're going to run, you're going to do the bare minimum, you're going to hate every moment of it. But if you have a goal to be athletic and you're an athlete, guess what? You're going to come early and you're going to apply yourself and you're going to stay late. So what am I saying? I'm not saying read your Bible to be a good Christian. No, I'm saying if you're distant, distracted, in a hurry, do you want a life of joy? Do you want a life of peace? Do you want a life of contentment? Then you need to start training for those things. If you train for those things by reading the Word of God, if you train for those things by praying, then you're going to reap the results and the benefits of what you train for. So if you're training for it, guess what? I love reading my Bible because I know if I get in this Word and apply this Word, I will have a successful marriage. I know that if I get in the Word of God and I pray, then I can be the kind of father that my children can follow. So because I know what I'm training for, I love the training. It's not a drudgery. It's not awful. I love it. Don't try to do something. Train to do something. Stand with me today. I'm closing. Don't just try for it. Train for it. And again, if church is not your normal routine, if this is an unfamiliar place for you, I just want to encourage you that I'm not trying to preach a message to religious people to pat ourselves on the back. I'm trying to tell you that the answer to the anxiety of your life, the answer to the hustle and the bustle is not reaching the top of any corporate ladder. It's not a certain amount of money in your bank account. You can go to the supermarket, look at the tabloids, all the people that have all that stuff, and look at their life. Their life is bankrupt. Their bank account is full, but their life is bankrupt. Why? Why? Because they're trying to solve a soul problem with superficial things. I'm telling you that it's a sickness in our spirit, and that no matter how much vacation you take, no matter how much money you make, you will still struggle with the same distractions, the same vices, the same distance if you don't address the problem at the root. And the first thing is not just being a hearer of the Word of God, but being a doer of it. And I'm trying to tell you, if you want real peace in your life that's disconnected from what your bank account says, I'm not saying it's not important, but I'm saying it's not the heart of it. You want peace in your life? You want to feel a little less distant from the Lord? You got to start training for some things, not just trying. Coming to church every weekend is not a box to check. It's a part of my training to discipline myself. And everyone's familiar with the story of King David and even his downfall with Bathsheba. But I want you to look at what created those circumstances for this mighty king, this man of God, this giant slayer. What was it that caused him to fall and take another man's wife and have that man killed? We find it in 2 Samuel 11. And it wasn't something he did. It was opposite. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants, all of Israel. Then it says at the end of that verse, but David remained at Jerusalem. My final point is this. Sometimes our spiritual downfall doesn't begin when we start doing something wrong. It begins when we stop doing something right. And it's small. And it's slippery. But King David made the decision not to go where he was supposed to go, not to continue. Kings are supposed to be off at war, but he made a decision to stay home, which put him on that rooftop to see that woman, to fall into what would be a tragic downfall. Those little things those little things. Let me ask you this. Let me speak to people that this is your routine. Could it be that there's some things that you used to participate and engage in and do, and you just don't anymore? You didn't really make an intentional decision. You just stopped. Just use an example. This is not an end-all, be-all, but maybe used to, whenever at the end of a service, you would say, no matter what is preached, no matter what they speak about, I'm just going to go down to the front and I'm going to find a place to pray, because I'm just going to pray. Every time there's an opportunity, I'm going to pray. Maybe you had that commitment at one point and you didn't really make a conscious effort, I'm not going to do that. You just kind of stopped. Am I saying that that's awful? No. I'm not saying, like, if you don't come down to the front at the end of this message, you are only a hearer. But maybe I am saying, are you slipping into a little bit of self-deception of coming, seeing the mirror? Oh, that's a good word. So much stuff I got to work on. What are we having for lunch? Or do we look in the Word and say, okay, yeah, there's some things I've got to do. There's some work I've got to do. And I would say it's really dangerous for Christians that have been walking with God for a long time, because you get in the habit of looking in that mirror. And if you're not careful, you'll get comfortable with the things God is calling out of you. But sometimes it starts not when you just begin doing some horrible thing. It maybe just starts when you stop doing some of the things you should be doing. Let me give you these points again. And in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come down to the front and pray. And again, I don't want to put pressure on you as if to say, if you don't come down to the front and pray, something wrong. No, if you want to pray right where you are in your seat, if you want to kneel, that's completely fine. But I do want to challenge you. This is my challenge. Be a doer, not just a hearer. What does that mean? Maybe that means for you, hey, maybe I need to go buy a real physical Bible and put it in my home so that I remember. Because I'm sick of constantly being distracted and feeling like I'm distant from where I'm supposed to be. How do I fix it? It's in the Word of God. Habitual hearers only will become habitual self-deceivers. The Word of God says this: if you are a hearer of the Word of God but not a doer, you will deceive yourself. So what's the answer? Do the work. Intentions don't help you remember. Actions do. Doing something. You can have all the greatest intentions, but if I don't do something, plan something, commit to something, you know you'll be right back to the exact same place. Be a doer of the work. Don't try to do something, train to do something. Guess what? The first day back at the gym, not a fun day. Difficult. You're weak. A couple days later, it's painful. You're sore. You're really sore. But it takes some time. But it's an understanding. I'm not just trying. There, you don't go to the gym one day and say, there, I did it, fitness. No. Why? You understand I'm embracing a life of training. If I want results, it's a lifestyle I embrace. Same thing with your walk with God. So let me challenge you. Let today be the day. Let it be today. Sometimes our spiritual downfall doesn't begin when we start doing something wrong. It begins when we stop doing something right. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, that's how you can look in the mirror of your life, see imperfection, see all the mistakes, and see something different. Because the Bible says you are a new creation. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, I would love to baptize you today. I want to challenge you, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. But to all of the rest of us, if you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, I tell you, whatever you do, don't forget the Lord. How? Not by intention, not by, oh, I'm going to remember harder. No, be a doer of the work. Commit to it. Train for it. And in a moment, I'm going to pray over you, and I want to encourage you. Everyone that is comfortable, I want you to come down to the front and find a place to pray around this what we call the altar area, where we, like in the Old Testament, they would take an altar and they would offer animals as a sacrifice, and they would kill that. What we say is, you know what? In the same way, I want to offer myself as a living sacrifice. God, if there's something in me you need to take, you need to purge, you need to help me see, you need to help me understand. Lord, I want to open up my life, my mind, my spirit. Help me, God, show me. That's what we do here. We say, this is an altar where I can sacrifice the parts of me that are not good for my future, not good for who you want me to be. That's why we do this, to say, Lord, I want to offer myself to you. So I want to encourage you today to find a place at the altar and sacrifice those parts of you that you need to give to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to just hear the word of God. I want to do it. Why? Because I'm sick of feeling so distant. I'm sick of feeling so distracted all the time. I'm sick of feeling so in a rush and in a hurry, but I'm not going anywhere. If that's you today, I'm telling you, it's a soul problem. It's not a money problem. It's not a time problem. Those are issues, but it's a soul problem. So today I want to pray over you, and then I want to encourage you to find a place to pray in this room. Let's pray right now. Lord, I thank you today for your word. God, I thank you for your spirit, Lord. And I want to declare to us, God, I don't want to be like a man that would look at my reflection in a mirror and then walk away and forget what I look like. Today, God, I want to be challenged by your word. God, that if I see something in your word, if I see something, God, in my life that is not of you, that is misaligned with what you would want me to do, God, I pray that I can correct it, that I can do the work, the difficult work. God, if there's someone here, they've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, I pray that they would find one of our baptistry team, that they would say, you know what? I'm tired of being a hearer. I want to be a doer of the word of God, because I'm tired of looking in the mirror and seeing a failure and feeling disconnected and distant from where I'm supposed to be. So in Jesus' name today, I pray that we would recognize, I don't want to deceive myself. I want to hear your word, and I want to apply it to my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Right now, would you, if you're comfortable, I want to invite you to come down to this altar and take some time to pray. Or if you want to just bow your head where you are and seek the Lord there, that's fine. But I want to encourage you, don't just be a hearer of the word. Be a doer of the word. Say, Lord, I want to look in the mirror of your word, and I want to fix some things you want me to fix. I want to cleanse the things you want me to cleanse. I'll change the things you want me to change. But it can only happen by the power of the Spirit. I can't do it on my own. It's a God thing, and it can happen for you today. Oh, can we find a place to pray and give ourselves to the Lord? If you want to be baptized, find one of our team members with a blue badge, and they will baptize you today in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Let's pray all across this place. In the name of Jesus, let me be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. I need you, Lord. I need